This is Doug Miller. You know, God laid hold on you for a reason, if you're saved. What was that reason? Do you know? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. We are privileged to be back with you one more time, this side of eternity, with Bible in hand and the grace of God laboring among us and the Spirit of God showing us the things of Christ. It's our privilege to be able to talk into this mic and to know that these words are going out to many of you out there, to the changing of lives. And, you know, this word cuts many ways. It'll either save you or it'll judge you in the end. So I trust that you will listen and listen closely. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Philippians chapter 3, and we will begin with verse 10 today. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And, of course, I've always said and will continue to say we would love to hear from you to provide you with any help that we can, any materials that we can give you. The recordings of these broadcasts are yours absolutely free, no strings attached, no questions asked, no mailing lists, and coming back and later begging you for money. We don't do that. We never have. By the grace of God, we never will. We'd love to hear from you, though. And to know that you're out there supporting us, praying for us. This is a faith ministry. We cannot exist without you. Our mailing address, Post Office Box, 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that or if you're confused by the way I announced it, just keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also would invite you to, if you've got a computer up and running and you're on the Internet, why, log into our webpage and read about us. And it's www.dialogueministries.org, not com, okay? Dialogue Ministries, all little letters, all one word. All right, let's get into this. I've got a cup of coffee here. It's a nice clear day outside. I'm in the cool of my own little study and talking to you, and with one of my favorite verses. You know, you've heard me mention this before. I suppose all of us have life verses. Well, right here, this is mine. This is mine. And when I say life verses, I mean beginning with verse 10 and running down through verse 14. These verses, a long time ago, got hold of me like few things ever have. And, of course, I'm the kind, when I read a passage, I say, I wonder why he put it just that way. So let's look at these. And, in fact, let me just read the entire passage to you. Then I'll go back and comment on it. I don't know how much of this we will get in today, but as always with Dialogue, we're in no hurry. We will take it a little bit at a time, and one verse per broadcast, if that's what it comes to. But we want to thoroughly, as God gives us light, give expositions and teaching about this word. So here we go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's just read it on here, because I always include the 15th verse in my live verses. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, this passage, which has had such a profound effect on me, it's got some stuff in it that maybe you might say, exactly what's he talking about there? Why did he say this, and what's that mean? Well, I've had many years to reflect on this one. So let me share with you now some of what the Lord has given me on this one. And here is one, you know, I like to pray back God's word to him. We know that if we are praying in his will, we're going to get what we ask for. If we approach God through Jesus Christ our Lord and ask anything according to his will, we're going to get what we ask for. Now, for those of you who say, well, I mean, I think it's God's will that I have a solid gold Cadillac. Well, lots of luck. I'll leave that to the hucksters. I don't believe that you can have any notion whether or not that's God's will for you, and I wouldn't touch that one with a 10-foot pole. There are a lot of things that I don't know clearly. I haven't determined clearly in my own mind whether or not this is God's will for me. But there is one thing I know for certain, and that is God's word to me expresses his will for me. And for example, if God's word says, and it does say, my God shall supply all your needs by his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I can pray that to God confidently, knowing that he's going to answer that one. He will supply all my needs. It's just that simple. And I can pray that one with thanksgiving. Now, look at this passage here, and here is one that I pray back to God every day. Well, you say, come on, Miller, do you miss a day or two now and then? Oh, sure, every now and then I miss a day. But in my prayers daily, I pray this one back to God. And I have taken the words written by the Apostle Paul in roughly 64 A.D., as close as scholars can determine it, about 4 years before his martyrdom at the hands of Nero. I've taken the words that he wrote, and I've made them my words and my prayer to God. Look at this. I don't necessarily want to pray to God for a long life. I don't want to pray to him for health and wealth. I don't want to pray to him that I will suddenly be as good looking as Brad Pitt and move into a big house across the street from the country club and drive around in a Rolls Royce. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray those things to God. But here's what I want to pray to him. I want to know him. Now, as I've said to you, as I just said to you, I've had a lot of time to reflect on this. Paul was saved in roughly 34 A.D., roughly. Not long after Stephen was martyred, as you know, and you can read about it in the 9th chapter of Acts, Paul was on the road to Damascus. And he was breathing out slaughterings and murder against the Christians. He was on his way to catch Christians and bring them bound back to Jerusalem to be tried as heretics and to be executed. And, of course, you all know the story, how this great light shone around him. And you remember a voice came from heaven. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his answer, as he had fallen to the earth blinded, his answer was a question. Who are you, Lord? Okay. Now, did he know him at that point? I don't think he did, although he may have suspected because, you know, the Lord later on told him it's hard for you to kick against the pricks of his own conscience. I've always kind of thought that when Paul asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" he kind of gritted his teeth and closed his eyes. And he may have said, "Oh, no, I know what this answer is going to be. I sure didn't want to hear this." But you know what the answer was, don't you, brothers and sisters? "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, Paul learned something in that little question, and it was something that stuck with him from then on, and he wrote about it in his letters over and over again. He learned something about the body of Christ and the headship of Jesus Christ and his position in glory in heaven. Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And, of course, Paul was persecuting Jesus, because if you raise your hand against the body of Christ, even the weakest member of the body, the hand or the big toe or the little finger, you are raising your hand against the head, which is Christ. And so Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And, of course, all of the great and wonderful truths we have about the body of Christ, about unity of the body and the headship of Christ and what the church is. We have all those from Paul. The church is Paul's doctrine. And if you're reading anywhere else in the New Testament, Peter, James, John, any of those to learn something about the church, you might get a little bit here and there, but you will get nothing like what you will get from Paul. Because what the church is, how it is to be organized, how it functions, how we are to meet when we come together. For some of you, you know, you may think it makes no difference. Well, it makes a great deal of difference. And we've got all that from Paul. And Paul, his introduction to Jesus Christ included that. Now, who are you? "I am Jesus." Paul, from that time, in 34 A.D., began his acquaintanceship with the Christ of God, crucified for our sins, dead, buried, raised up again, ascending back to God, and living there in glory until he comes again to take his church home in the great rapture. And after that, he will come back again to earth to save Israel. And Paul began to learn about him. Paul went away for 8 years into Arabia, where he was taught directly by Jesus. He affirms this in 2 Corinthians. He affirms it again in the letter to the Galatians. Now, what an amazing thing, brothers and sisters, that 30 years later, in 64 A.D., his prayer is that I may know him. Well, didn't Paul know him? Sure he knew him. To not know, you know, this is eternal life, said Jesus in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Paul couldn't have been saved if he didn't know Jesus Christ, and yet his prayer here 30 years after his salvation is that I may know him. Friends, I was saved in early 1957. It's a long time ago. It's over 50 years ago. My prayer today is just like Paul's, that I may know him. Because no matter how I know him, I always want to know him better. Always more. Sometimes there's a song we sing in church, and I bet a bunch of you know it. More about Jesus, what I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness free. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. It's all about him, you see. And for those of you out there who are not saved and you're just thinking in general terms of God and, well, the God of Islam is the same as the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians, and we're all kind of getting there in our own weak way on different paths, but it all leads to the same place. Oh, friends, you have been lied to and deceived. You had better figure it out. It's all about Jesus. "That I may know him," said Paul, as an old man, on his way to martyrdom, although he couldn't have known the exact time. It was 4 years in the future, but he didn't know that at the time. "That I may know him, and look at this, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, it's interesting that I read a guy one time, one of the brethren, the so-called brethren, you know, out of the assemblies, and very excellent writers among those guys and teachers, the best in the world, none better. And this guy said, it's interesting, Paul wanted to get to Jesus exactly by the route that Jesus took to get to glory. Well, have to disagree with him. Paul turns it around. Jesus got to glory by suffering and dying and then being raised up and then ascending up into glory. That was the path Jesus took. Look at the path Paul wants to go. He gets it around the other way. He puts the power of his resurrection before he puts and the fellowship of his sufferings. He puts it in the other way. The first thing Paul says that he wants to know about him is his resurrection power. Now let's think about that. And oh, wow, I just looked at the clock and the time's ticking away and we're not going to begin to even scrape the surface. But once again, we'll get as far as we can. Let's look at this. As a believer, the first thing Paul said he wants to know is his resurrection power, the power of his resurrection. And of course, this word power, you've heard me say this on here before, is typically associated with the resurrection. Typically. And go back and read the first chapter of Romans, for example, where Paul writes to the Romans that Jesus Christ was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. And you've heard me say before on here also, this word power is the word, the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And the power of his resurrection. Think of the enormous power that it took when God went in from among the dead ones and raised up his son up out of death into life as the firstborn one from among the dead ones, the first of the immortals, the first of a line of sons and daughters that he is bringing into glory, that God is bringing into glory with his son. Now look at this. For those of you out there who are disposed to think, and we're going to talk about this a little later on, and this is important, where Paul talks about that I might, I have not already attained, he says, unto these things, but I'm reaching forth and so forth and so forth. I've not already apprehended. I'm not perfect. I have not attained unto this resurrection. For those of you who are disposed to think in terms of falling from grace, and I was saved today, but tomorrow I could be lost again by falling away and being lost. And if you want to point to this passage here, you are sadly and sorely mistaken, friend, whoever you are. Paul is not saying here, I am hoping to be raised up again to life later on at the great general resurrection. And if I don't do good and do everything right, why, I won't be raised up among the living and I will go into hell. That's not what he's saying here. Paul has no doubt that he's going to be raised up into life. If you have problems with that, go back and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the rapturing of the church. Read the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, what Paul says. Paul knows that he is going to be raised up in resurrection life when Jesus comes back for his church. He understands that. Paul is talking about something else, and some of you may be slow to accept that, but I hope you'll get hold of this because it is very important. Paul is talking about right here and now experiencing the power of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. You do not have to wait until you die and are later raised up. That's not what he's getting at here. Go back once again and read the opening chapter of Ephesians. And where are we now as believers? Present tense. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places in glory. That is the positional truth of where we are, friends. But the practical truth about our walk is another matter. A lot of us are grubbing around down here. We're saved. We're going to be saved. We're not lost. We have some knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we are living absolutely beneath our privileges if we don't understand that this entering into our rest, which I think I dealt with at some time back when we went through Hebrews together, this business of entering into our rest in Christ Jesus is something that we can have right now. This is being, in a sense, in the good of our position with and in Christ. Well, where is he? He is in glory. He was raised up from the dead. And the power of his resurrection that Paul is praying that he will know is something that he wants to know right here and now. He wants to come more and more into the truth of this. Read Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now the Greek there says, I have been and am being presently crucified with Christ. It's an ongoing thing. Nevertheless, I live. Well, Christ was crucified and nevertheless lives. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, let me tell you something. If you want to pray something for yourself about your victory as a Christian, here is something you can begin to pray right now. Oh God, I want to know your Son better. I want to know him where he is right now. I want to know him as the man in glory at your right hand. And Father, I want to know his resurrection power in my life right now. Raised up from the dead to walk with him in newness of life. All of you who were baptized by immersion, and at the risk of offending those of you who weren't and who think that the, you know, baptism makes no difference if you're baptized, let me tell you something. The word baptism means to immerse. That's the meaning of the word. And if you understood, if those of you who were immersed, if you understood what you were doing, your baptism was a picture of death, burial, and resurrection in Christ, buried with him in baptism, raised up to walk with him in newness of life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Friends, this is monumentally important to you. And I just pray you'll get hold of it. Now, we're running out of time, and as I was afraid, I've only begun to scratch the surface. But please, look at this. If you are living a defeated life, you're just kind of going along from day to day, stumbling and fumbling around, you need to begin by getting an idea of what God sees you as and where God sees you. He sees you, and this is reality, unified with his Son in glory, seated with his Son at his right hand. All of the power of his resurrection life has been made available to you. And it is the power that took Jesus out of the dead. This is available for you. Why don't you start laying hold on that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.